There's a story that's told among certain First Nation peoples of a grandfather talking to his grandson. And he tells the boy that inside you, inside every person, there are two wolves who struggle against each other. One is a wolf of peace and love and kindness. The other is a wolf of fear and greed and hatred. Which wolf will win, grandfather? Asked the boy. And the wise man replies, whichever one you feed. When I read that story, I read that story and my mind quickly went to thinking about St. Ignatius of Loyola, our patron saint. That's because any crests or emblems associated with St. Ignatius or the Jesuits, the order of priests that he founded, you'll always see an image of two wolves fighting over a pot of food. St. Ignatius, if you may or may not know St. Ignatius, his story, but St. Ignatius was part of a minor noble family in Spain, and therefore they had a family crest. And on the shield is this image of two wolves seemingly fighting over a cauldron. I did some extensive and dare I say, exhaustive research on the matter. I asked Google, and I found that apparently the representations of the wolf, which is lobo in Spanish, and cauldron, which is hola in Spanish, developed into the name Loyola, Lobo y Hola. And these symbols are supposed to represent or symbolize the generosity of that Loyola family, who during medieval feudal warfare provided their soldiers with so much food that even the wolves always had something to feed on after the men had been supplied. But I also know that St. Ignatius's great contributions, among his great contributions to the spiritual tradition of the Catholic Church, is what he calls the discernment of spirits. And in a nutshell, St. Ignatius helped us understand that there are different spiritual forces at work in our life. Spirits of good and of peace and of love, and spirits that want us to succumb to fear and greed and hatred. I kind of think St. Ignatius would have gotten along well with that indigenous grandfather. So what does this have to do with us, with the readings today? What does any of this have to do with Advent or Christmas, for that matter? Well, I think this idea of discernment, and discernment of spirits in particular, has a lot to do with the questions people are asking John the Baptist in the Gospel today. You know, after hearing him preach the good news about the coming Messiah, ordinary people are asking John, what should we do? In other words, help us discern. Tax collectors, the most reviled and hated group amongst the Jewish people, were asking, what should we do? Roman soldiers, the occupying army in Israel, were asking, what should we do? I think this is probably the most common question we all ask ourselves. What should I do? We ask ourselves that question all the time, from the very mundane, like what dress should I wear? Or should I wear shorts or sweatpants for that Zoom meeting today? To the more important questions that we end up asking ourselves in this pandemic. You know, should I look for a job that gives me more flexibility? Should I risk getting together with family members at Christmas who aren't vaccinated? And then we have those really existential questions that we sometimes ask ourselves, especially at the end of a year. What should I do to be more fulfilled? What should I do to be a better parent or a better person, to be more authentic, or, you know, just get my life together, get hold of my finances, to have a better relationship with my wife or my father. What should I do? What should I do is the question we've always asked. It's what all sorts of people were asking John the Baptist, and it's what we ask today. And what I find so refreshing in reading the gospel passage is that John is giving them very practical answers. He wasn't giving them theoretical things and, you know, all these and super spiritual things to do. He doesn't say just, you know, be more righteous, like something really abstract like that. Or he doesn't even say, well, pray more. He says to start with very practical things. To the soldiers whom he saw as occupying forces, he doesn't say, leave Israel, free my people. He knows that that's out of their control. He knows they have a job to do and commanders that they have to answer to. So he tells them something practical, something they can do right now. Stop extorting money and using your power to threaten people. And be satisfied with your wages. In other words, don't be greedy. Don't abuse your power. In the words of that indigenous grandfather, stop feeding the wolf of fear and greed. To the tax collectors who were seen as traitors and Roman collaborators and who regularly took advantage of the poor and abused their authority, he doesn't tell them, you know, quit your job. He knows the Romans will just find someone else to take that position. He tells them something they can do right now, something they can do today. Don't use your authority to take advantage of people and to cheat them out of their money. In the words of that indigenous grandfather, stop feeding the wolf of greed and selfishness. And to the average person who doesn't necessarily have a position of great authority and doesn't have much power to wield, who thinks to themselves, well, I'm basically a good person. I don't lie or steal or cheat. I try and play by the rules and not hurt anyone. To those people, John the Baptist says, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. In other words, be generous with what you have. Think of others first and be kind to others. In the words of that indigenous grandfather, feed the wolf of peace and love and kindness. Changing our lives and becoming real followers of Jesus, becoming better people, better Christians, it doesn't always have to involve grand gestures and wholesale changes in our life. But it should have a tangible impact on how you choose to live your life on a daily basis. If you're a business owner or a UPS driver who wants to change your life, John the Baptist wouldn't tell you to, you know, sell your business and give everything to the poor. He wouldn't tell you to quit UPS and move to sub-Saharan Africa to drive a food relief truck to refugee camps. But he would tell you, do your job with integrity. Don't cheat, don't lie, don't steal, don't take advantage of others. And he'd tell you to do something kind and generous and loving today for someone you don't even know. He'd tell you to do that today and every day. He'd tell you to start to be a better person, a better Christian, a better parent, a better spouse, a better colleague at work, a better friend today. And he'd tell you to start with something practical. And so that's exactly what I'm asking you this week. What is the kind and generous thing you can do today? And what about every day of this week? You know, is John the Baptist right? Do you have a closet full of clothes that you do not really wear anymore, that you don't use? Maybe start by giving some of that away. You know, do you Do you get a Christmas bonus? I don't know if that's even a thing anymore. It's Christmas. I don't know. Maybe I'm showing my age, because back when I was in work, we got Christmas bonuses, but maybe that's not a deal anymore. But if you get a Christmas bonus, maybe giving some of that to charity. You know, I marvel at the parents I meet here at St. Ignatius. I marvel at the creative ways they find to share and to pass on Christian values. You know, there was a family in the parish. They've since moved out of town. But a few years ago, I went over to their home for dinner one day just after Christmas. And under the tree were some unopened toys. They weren't wrapped up like presents anymore, but the toys were still in the unopened boxes. And I asked about it, and the parents told me, well, they give their children three toys each for Christmas, and each child had to pick one of the three to give away. But the kids couldn't yet decide, so that's why there was two of them that were unopened out there, because they didn't know which ones they were going to... They opened their favorite, and then the other ones, they were like hedging their bets, you know, and the way seven-year-olds do. They told me that they wanted to find a way to teach their children to be generous and to think of others first. And this was a practical way they found to teach that lesson. Plus, in seeing their kids grow to become more generous, it made them want to model that for them. And so they look for ways to be more generous too in their daily life. You know, I was invited over to another family's home during Advent, and on their dining room table, they had this basket of straw, and next to it was an empty manger. And every day at supper, the kids would put another piece of straw from the basket into the manger to prepare the manger for baby Jesus. But they could only move a piece of straw in there if they did an act of kindness that day. So at supper, they each said what kind deed they had done as they put in that piece of straw. And it ranged from the three-year-old giving me a hug when I came in the door. That was her act of kindness. To, you know, the older kids having helped someone at school that day or helped out around the house. It was a simple, creative way to teach their children to be kind in simple, practical ways each and every day. I think those are just a couple of very beautiful, but also very practical ways to feed the wolf of kindness and generosity and love. And so I challenge you, and I know that you can find creative ways like that to feed that good wolf and to keep the wolf of fear and greed and hatred at bay, to keep that wolf starving. Imagine the impact you'll have on the world around you if you start today to be the person you want to be. Imagine the impact on the world around you if today you start to be the person God wants you to be.